Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, your guide to traveling, investing, and living beyond borders, where we talk about living the life that you want to live, where you want to live it. From beautiful San Miguel de Allende, smack in the middle of Mexico. With your hosts, Jonathan Lockwood and James Guzman.
Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, traveling, investing, and living beyond borders. Coming to you from San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, inside the Borderless compound. Thanks for joining us again, and if you're new here, thanks for checking us out. We talk about borders, both internationally and psychologically. If you have the burning desire to break free from borders, we understand. And again, thanks for being here. My name's Jonathan Lockwood. I'm here with James Guzman. How you doing, James?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back.
Yes, you're back in San Miguel de Allende after being gone for, what, at least a couple of months in Chile, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit over 2 months, and that was a nice vacation, but it's good to be back here. The weather is doing all right now. When I first arrived, it wasn't so great, but it's a nice day, and we have some other friends in town, so it's been a good few days.
Yep, a shout-out to Marco and Lindsay Almeida, mm-hmm. who used to live here for a while, returned to the States, but are back enjoying it. So, so what else is new, James? Is everything good?
Yeah, everything's fine. Just, looking at different projects and things, coming back into town and been having lunches and scheduling, catching up with people and lots of interesting stuff going on.
Right. So, well, speaking of interesting stuff, what we have for you today is another country spotlight. We have spotlighted so many different countries, but one of them is probably more popular than all the rest, and that is Colombia. A lot of people have expressed interest in it. And so what we found for you is Gloria Zuluaga of Medellin Executive Relocation. It's a company made up of young professionals who've had the experience of having to relocate themselves to other countries. They compose a team prepared for the challenges relocation represents. They have extensive experience and a network of contacts from different specialties such as real estate, schools, lawyers, courier, transport, and all amenities, which will make it more convenient and provide faster resolutions for any of your needs should you be relocating to Colombia. Welcome, Gloria Zuluaga, to the Borderless Podcast.
Okay, hello. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so now I read some stuff about you. I think I read an interview on you, Gloria. You are originally from Medellin, right?
Yes.
Okay. But at some point you left and you lived. Where did you live?
Well, at some point I left when I was 18 to Europe, and I lived for 18 years in different countries, Spain, France, Italy, Switzerland. That's it.
Okay. And you picked up a few languages along the way, didn't you?
Yes. I speak Italian, French, English, and Spanish.
Good for you. Not bad. But you decided to come back home, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I decided because the crisis in Spain was really bad, the economical crisis, and there were no more jobs, life were difficult, and I decided to come back to my city.
Okay, very good. And did you love it? Were you happy to return?
Oh, yes, I'm very happy. Happy I opened my own company. I don't work for anybody else. And what can I say? I live a very good life here. My family's here. So, yeah, I cannot ask for anything else.
There you go. That's good. I've heard so much. We like you said, we've done a lot of spotlights on different cities. And I go around and I talk to people that are interested in investing in new countries and expatriating and that kind of thing. And Colombia and Medellin in particular comes up a lot. Is there a reason that is Medellin somehow different from the rest of the country?
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. It's because we have a nice weather during the whole year. Mm-hmm. We don't have winter. When we said, oh, my God, it's winter, it's because it's raining. That's it, you know. And it's not dry as for example, Madrid, because it's very dry. Mm-hmm. No, it's always like between 23, 25 degrees. It's centigrades. I don't know anything about Fahrenheit.
Right. And I believe that we're talking about low 70s Fahrenheit, something like that. That's what I've always seen. It just pretty much stays the same temperature, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Pretty much the whole year. Uh-huh.
Right. So there's
The people were very nice people, very helpful. And we like all other people. We integrate with everybody.
Fantastic. Well, our friend of the podcast, I think it's pronounced Gia Kim, She's been hanging out there, James. I don't know if you know her, but she loves Colombia, and she was saying the same thing about friendly, and she's as friendly as they come, so she knows what she's talking about. So just in general, why might a person now, most of the people who listen to this podcast are from the United States, but plenty of them are, you know, generally speaking, they have to be able to speak English because that's what we speak here. But there are people in Europe, there are people in other parts of the country, there are those who've relocated in other parts of the world too. Why would they consider Colombia a positive just as a country?
Okay, right now between, for example, the most important thing is that the peso is very weak right now. Mm-hmm. So the exchange rate for all the Americans are very good. So it's very cheap in this moment. Also, the weather is perfect. The city is a very nice city with different type of neighborhoods that give you or offers you different, different activities and every neighborhood is different. So you can choose any you want and you will have the people who speak English, the people who are locals, and then you want to mix with the locals and learn a new culture. Everything is different here. It's easy. It's very easy to relocate to Medellin. Very easy.
Wow. Now, what is it? I mean, you mentioned the weather a few times, but it seems like there's something else that is different about Medellin from the rest of Colombia, that it, you know, it seems to be growing a lot faster. Is there any type of political reasons for that, or why do you see that this?
Well, right now we have a lot of young people coming here and up in companies because right now they're trying to change Medellin into a Valicon City. You know, so
Valley,
there's
right.
a lot of companies related with the internet. So right now we have a lot of expats that are between 20, 25, 30s, you know. Mm-hmm. And also we have another range of expats that is the retired people, okay? So when they retire and they start receiving their pension, for them it's easy to relocate here because it's cheap. It's very cheap. So they can have a wonderful life with the pension they get in the States, for example.
Okay, so let's talk about that cheap. Let's just put our finger on it. And we always know there are, as we talk about cost of housing, for instance, that there's a range. So somebody might want to buy a big, beautiful, you know, palatial house. Probably most people not. You know, maybe they want to get something small. Maybe they want to rent a little apartment. Give us an idea about apartments, first of all. One or two bedroom apartments. What would be the approximate range in Medellin?
Okay, most of the buildings, they have gym, pool, what else? Another facilities like playgrounds if you have kids. So that's what is wonderful because you can have everything in the same place. Okay, if you are thinking to buy an apartment of, for example, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, it can cost you around. I can give you a run in pesos colombianos.
That's okay. I'll do
That will be around 280 million pesos, which is like $100,000, like okay. 115, something okay. like that.
Gotcha. So you said how much in Colombian pesos?
280,000? Yes, 280 million pesos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here is millions.
Okay, so yeah, that's, I'm looking at pesos now. I got to get over to the U.S. dollar. Okay, here we go. That only comes out right now. Boy, you're right. It only comes out to a little over 88,000. And you say that is, what do you get for that?
An apartment with two bedrooms, two bathrooms, located in a very good neighborhood with a pool. Gym, playground, security 24 hours, 7 days. That's it.
So you're talking about purchasing like a condo or something?
Yes, a condo.
Oh, yes. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. But what if somebody just wants to rent one? Have any idea about what rental rates are?
Okay. Suppose you want to rent. Normally, what they want to rent when they come to relocate to Medellin is a furnished apartment because it's less stressful for the people, you know, who doesn't speak the language to furnish an apartment and buy all these things.
Yes.
So the best thing to do is rent a furnished apartment. So a furnished apartment with two bedrooms located in one of the best districts in Medellin is around 3 million pesos per month.
Which is about $950 a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a very nice place, two bedroom, two bath. What if you're a young single dude who isn't looking for something like this? You just want a one bedroom place, very okay. simple.
Okay, a one bedroom apartment or a studio, you know, mm-hmm. it costs $2,500,000 furnished.
Okay, so that's something like $791 a month.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And you can get it for less because these are prices that I'm giving you for a neighborhood that is like Manhattan in New
right.
York.
Ah, gotcha. You know? Well, that explains it. Boy, to live in Manhattan for $790 a month. Yeah, so probably, I mean, we've certainly seen examples, James, of much less than that. So that's for somebody who's really, you know, on a budget, maybe the digital nomads just looking to hang out someplace for $300 or $400 a month or something like
that. You can find those places,
sure.
but it's not in the best district. But
right.
there are districts that are secure, that are very good. It's just that it's not the expensive one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, cost of living in general. How do we do this? Now, what do we, they used to use the Big Mac index. I don't know whether that
yeah.
means, I don't know what a Big Mac costs anymore, so that doesn't help me. What? How can we find out what
how,
the cost?
How would you say, you know, going out to a restaurant, say you have like two people,
yeah.
you're going out to a restaurant in town, you know, a decent restaurant, how much would that cost?
In a decent restaurant?
Yeah, this restaurant, two people with some drinks.
Yeah, two people with a bottle of wine and everything?
Yeah.
$60.
$60, okay.
That's $60 US.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Now you knew that one. Okay. Don't be changing on us. I've got my calculator out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. That's because I just went out with my boyfriend, so I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I've heard that they have some really amazing restaurants there. I think, you know, we saw this post from Bobby Casey. He said that he went to one of the best
right.
restaurants in his life the first night he went there to Medellin, and it was just an incredible price. So.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah. The thing is like, before, like maybe 10 years ago, it was impossible to find an international restaurant here. Mm. It was impossible because we didn't have this type of, how can I explain, like what is happening right now, this migration thing,
right,
okay?
Right.
Because before it was just Colombians and that's it. Not even people from other cities wanted to come to Medellin. But everything changed. We're now very, very international, cosmopolitan, but you can find any food you want here, anything.
Okay. And what about, you know, we call them utilities. So things like, you know,
uh-huh.
heating
yeah.
and cooling and what electricity. What is a typical bill that maybe a two-bedroom apartment would run up?
Okay. It will be 150,000 pesos.
Okay. Which is...
That includes,
oh.
the city bill includes electricity, gas, natural gas, and water.
Oh, all of it. And mm-hmm. water. Well, that's like $47 a month.
Mm-hmm. So yes, because the same company that provides those services. So those are included in the same bill.
Mm-hmm. How is the internet infrastructure there in Medellin?
That is not as good as everybody wanted to be. Okay, we have three companies in the whole Colombia, but right now we have a local company called UNE, U-N-E, which provides internet around the whole city, no matter where you live, in the mountains, in downtown, anywhere. And everybody wants to get those services because from all of the rest companies, is less worse.
It's worse.
It's the company that provides a better service, but it's not the best one.
I see.
Even though it's not the best service.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, thanks for your honesty there. We need to hear about the negatives too, but things are happening so fast in Colombia. I'm imagining it won't be long before that straightens itself out and there's a little bit more consistent internet service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you keep cutting out on Skype here.
No. Yeah.
I'm joking. Okay, so what else about cost of living? We talk about you know, things like, well, like you know, what about meat? What about beef? You know?
Okay. Groceries, I think for myself, I think that are a little bit expensive, but I'm okay. talking about some I'm talking from the point of view of someone who earns pesos colombianos and work in pesos colombianos, no, from someone who lives here in Colombia and earns dollars or euros, okay?
I see.
So on my point of view, is a little bit expensive, okay? But you can go to places that are cheaper than the supermarkets, you know? Mm-hmm. And people are learning and they like to go to these places because are very typical from Colombia. They are called plazas de mercado.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay.
So let's talk about maybe a couple. It's just a man and a woman.
For example,
what would the range of their grocery bill be for a week? Can you give us an idea?
For a week with beef, with the rice, everything, vegetables, everything. If it's not organic, okay, we have that pattern that everybody wants to eat organic. If it's normal in the supermarket, every week will be around $150 to $200.
Oh, you're giving us dollars again now.
Yeah.
Keep switching on me. Okay, wait.
I'm sorry.
Okay, about $100 to $150. Is that what you said?
$150 to $200.
Yes, exactly.
$150 to $200.
$150 to $200. Yes.
To 200. I see. I got you. Okay. Very good. All right. So maybe it is a little more expensive.
It is. Oh. It is.
Why do you suppose that is?
I don't know. It's like here we have taxes for everything, even the food. And also they are thinking to increase the tax. Right now is 16% and they are trying to increase it to 19%. So, you know.
You're talking about VAT tax.
Value added tax or something?
Yes.
I see. Oh, okay. Yeah, just like in Mexico, it's 16% here too. Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. But I mean, are there many farms in Colombia? Isn't Colombia known for its beef? No.
Yeah, we are. We have many, plenty of them around the country. But
and they tax the hell out of them, don't they, Gloria?
Yeah.
Those cows, damn it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you've talked to us a little bit. Why don't we get into some of the things that might be perceived as negatives or uncomfortable to somebody? Let's just say a typical, you know, person from the U.S. What are things that they might not be used to or they might... I heard a laugh. What?
Mm-hmm. You what? Yes, I laughed. Yes.
Okay, so give me some of the things. Give me some of the things that might be perceived as negatives.
Okay, for example, you buy an apartment or a house here, okay, and you wanna make some renovations in your place, mm-hmm. and you start calling to get quotes. Oh my God, you know, you can take a seat and wait and be patient because you have to wait at least 2, 3, 4 calls until they come. And show up, okay? And in the States, it's different because you call one company and they come immediately. You know, they are fighting between all the companies to see, you know, who's going to get the contract. Here is like even the best company in Medellin, you have to call them 2, 3, 4 times. It's like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess that we're kind of used to that here in Mexico.
It's very Latino. I think it's very Latino. It's not just for Medellin. It's in all Latin America that happens the same.
Yeah, it's true. And it's worth, you know, talking about. I mean, we hear this all the time. I mean, even from apparently much, if not most of Europe, in the U.S., the one thing that you can say that they really kind of excel at is customer service, you know?
Yes,
and,
yes.
So that is kind of what we're used to. And so for anybody looking to relocate pretty much any place else in the world, you're going to have to be aware that there are going to be some changes as far as customer
Even
service.
Even in Spain. I used to live in Spain, and Spain is the same. You have to call 3, 4, 5 times until they come and show up, you know? So it's I think, very Latino culture that I don't know why it's like that.
Right. Well, I had a friend, one of my best friends was originally from Mexico. I used to ask him why he would be so unbelievably late. I mean, I'm not talking, I'm late, Gloria. I'm going to be late anytime, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. This guy would be hours late. And I'd be like, Josh, what, why? He said, well, bro, you know, the people from the northern, you know, countries, they had to get those crops in the ground and it meant living. But, you know, from the southern climates, it was warm and it was always like mañana, you know, we can always. And so it just kind of maybe got in, just passed down somehow, some way through the generations of people. I don't know. It's the best explanation I've ever heard. What do you think?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's just cultural. It doesn't have, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. That bothers me too. Bothers me a lot. And I'm from here. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. But yeah, it is. It is.
And when I express something about it here in Mexico, I feel like a complete, utter, and total asshole. I really do. I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Because everybody's so nice here. You know, it's just, it's a level of customer service I'm not used to. And they say one thing and it doesn't happen a lot of the time. But not everybody is that way. And you figure it out and you relax, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I know a lot of Americans who come here and they, you know, they call 1, 2, 3 times. And at the fifth time, they call me. It's like, Lou, can you call for me? I was like, and you're not mad because this is happening to you? It's like, no, I'm already used to it. I was like, oh my God.
Well, there are a lot of things that make up for that stuff. And that's the case I found here where I live in Mexico. And I'm sure it's the case from everything I hear about Medellin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about medical care?
I have to say something positive about that, and everything is positive. Medellin or Colombia has one of the best doctors in the world. We have a lot of medical tourism here, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people who comes from Aruba, Curacao, and Latin America because they come and they make the treatments here because we have a very good doctors, very good.
All right. Good to know. And what would you say, how do Americans usually respond to the price of medical care there?
Some of them, you know, they don't even want to buy a health insurance policy because it's so cheap that they prefer to, you know, just to pay every time they go to the doctor. Because, for example, if you don't have the health insurance policy, one appointment, like regular appointment with any doctor, any specialist, it can cost you 120,000 pesos, which is like, what, $60, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's pretty cheap. You say 120,000 pesos?
Yes, 120.
That's about $38.
Yeah. Or imagine. That's the consultation. Mm-hmm. And then when you get a treatment, I don't know. I mean, it's cheap for Americans. It's very cheap. So they prefer not to buy the health insurance policy. But if you buy it, it costs around like $60 for the ones that are like the basic ones that you're not allowed to go to any doctor you want, just the general doctor. And then the general doctor has to give you a prescription in case that you need to see a specialist. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this basic policy can cost you around 80 or 90,000 pesos a month.
Okay. So we're talking about maybe about $27 a month US. Okay. That's per month for an insurance policy?
Yes, but that one is the basic one.
I see.
Okay? You are not allowed to go to any specialist if your general doctor doesn't send you a prescription.
Gotcha.
Okay? The ones that are already, you know, includes all the doctors you want, all the treatments you want, everything, you're talking about like 300,000 pesos per month.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Now we got a lot of the prices out of the way. I think we got a good idea about that. What about life in general? I mean, it sounds like you've got some good restaurants there. Is there a good nightlife and a lot of stuff to do? What about that?
Yeah, we have. Well, I don't know a lot about this because I'm not a very party girl.
I don't believe that for one moment. Look, don't try to impress us, okay?
No, it's true.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I heard at the expat community that they have plenty of places where they can go and have fun, bars, restaurants, discos. Yeah, they have plenty of them here.
All right, good to know. And so is there a particular area of Medellin that's known for its cool nightlife?
Yeah, there are two. One is called Barrio Colombia. Barrio Colombia has all the discos around in this area. That's what I heard. And when you pass by, you can see all the signs and everything. Okay. Also, there is another one called Parque Lleras.
Well, how do you Parque what?
Parque Lleras. Parque as a park. Parque. Lleras is written like this: LLERAS.
Gotcha. Okay. So these are the cool, fun nightlife places, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
I love it that Latin America still calls them discos. I don't know. Yeah. if we stopped calling them that like 30 years ago in the U.S., I think. But it's cool.
So how do you call them now?
Nightclubs.
Yeah, nightclub. Yeah.
Nightclub? Yeah. Okay, yeah, discos. Yeah, we keep calling them like that.
And there's no beach there. Is there a...
No.
What's the closest beach to there? If someone wants to take a weekend on the beach or something.
Oh, no. To go to the beach, you need a plane.
Oh, really?
Because otherwise you have to take a car, and it takes around 8 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, by car, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so where would you go? What are the beaches? What are the towns?
You will go to Cartagena, Santa Marta.
Okay.
You can go also to San Andres, but San Andres is far away. It's like around 2.5 hours by plane.
Right. I see. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the Pacific, where the sun is dark and the ocean is cold.
The sun is dark.
That's cool.
Oh, the sand is dark.
Oh, the sand. Yeah, the sand. I'm sorry. Okay,
it's like volcanic.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe Capurganá is a place for that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Urabá.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. Okay. Now, you know, I think a lot of the listeners of this, you know, podcast are not the type that believe all the hype and watch the media and believe everything they hear. But, you know, let's cover that real quick. You know, Colombia has gotten a bad rap, right, because of 70s and 80s and stuff like that. So what do you tell people when they ask you about security issues and that kind of stuff?
Okay, about security, is very safe right now. It's not the same as it used to be 10 or 20 years ago when you cannot even go out to the street, okay? Everything changed. We have more security, more police, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to get robbed or you know, things like this, because in any single city in the world, it's happened. You know, if you just don't pay attention to your bag and your bag is open, believe me that there's someone that is more, you know, always looking for the opportunity and will rob you, you know. Mm-hmm. But and there are some neighborhoods too that you cannot go there, not visit, not for 1 minute, okay? Because they are still being dangerous.
Right.
But in the normal life, every single day, you can walk around, you can drive with your phone on the car. It's normal. I mean, it's like any other city. We don't have any sicarios, or I don't know how you call them, like
assassins,
people sicario, who, right. Assessing for money, right. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have that anymore.
Okay.
And we don't tell me.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're only speaking for Medellin. What about other places in Colombia?
Bogota,
for instance, or Cartagena.
Yeah. It changed too. It changed a lot. Mm. I mean, it's not just Medellin. Medellin has more reputation that has been changed, but the other ones too. Cartagena has never been a dangerous city, because it's always been a very touristic place. So it's just to pay attention to where you go. That's it. But Bogota changed. I don't travel too often to Bogota. I don't like Bogota. But I mean, like, I don't know.
Because it's so dangerous? No, I'm kidding.
because it's ugly.
A big city. It's a different type of city, right? It sounds to me like Medellin has a lot of kind of, you know, flavor and culture. It's not so much of the big city that Bogota is, right?
Yeah, and that's true.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know, I heard about somebody gave me the link. I'm just looking for it, but I can't find it, to a co-working space there that seemed pretty good. It seemed like you were talking about before, lots of, they're trying to attract young entrepreneurs and stuff like that. That's cool. And, you know, I just came from Chile, where they were doing the same. And they even had government programs set up where they were trying to attract foreigners there. Do they have anything like that in Colombia?
Yeah, in Medellin, they have. Now we have plenty of co-working spaces. Right now, it's like, it's too much. Like, in any single person that is young and wants to open, like, the first... business, they open the networking place, you know, a co-working place. So we have plenty of them in El Poblado, which is one of the best districts in Medellin. You can find at least 10 or 15 right now.
Yeah. Poblado is the place that I've heard a lot about. But are there any like programs or opportunities or something for maybe somebody maybe they don't have a specific idea, but you know, they'd be willing to go there if there's some sort of opportunity. Is there anything like that?
Yes, I heard that the municipality of Medellin, the mayor, is offering foreigners who wants to come and open business here. They give them like a loan with zero return. You don't have to pay it back, but you have to show that the company is making any progress and all this stuff.
Right.
They give you a space to open your company at the beginning for 6 months, no rent. You don't have to pay any rent. Mm-hmm. And they give you, like, for example, the service of secretary, mm-hmm. telephone, fax, everything mm-hmm. for free.
And they give you some seed capital as well?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you know how much?
But I don't know how much money okay. it is.
Yeah, well, you know what's fun? I think that they took that program directly from Chile, because I just got done going over that exact program that they have going on in Chile right now. They give you $35,000. So.
All right. What do you know? And so, speaking of the government, you know, I mean, we start asking ourselves the question, well, what happened? Because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I mean, there was a reason why Medellin wasn't such a safe place to go. It changed. Mm-hmm. So what changed? What's your best explanation for that, Gloria?
I have a name for that. Álvaro Uribe. That's the answer. That we have the best president we could have in many years. Álvaro Uribe was the best president Colombia could have. And he was the one who fight the guerrilla, fight everybody, and make this country what it is right now.
Okay. And give me some idea of Uribe, Álvaro Uribe. What did he do? My understanding is he opened up trade. It became more free, didn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Right. Well, awesome. That would make sense then as to why something could turn around. Once you start opening up trade, I mean, people become, the economy improves, and people maybe who are on the outskirts of organized crime don't need to do it anymore. I don't know. Let's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to look into that. Maybe some people can give us some insight who've been living in Colombia listening to the Borderless podcast as to their opinions on that, and we can post it. All right. Now, how about taxation? Now, I know you've never lived in the U.S., but maybe you've heard. Do you have some idea about what sort of taxes an expat might be expected to pay?
Well, you will have to file taxes. Just if the expat lives more than 180 days in Colombia, like if you stay here for more than 180 days, you have to file your taxes. And you file your taxes depending on what you earn. But if you earn something in Colombia, if you earn something on, you know, abroad, you don't have to declare it. If you buy a property, of course, you have to file taxes on your property or cars or bikes or, you know, motorbikes. Mm-hmm. But if you are like a pension, you receive a pension from the States, that depends on the amount of money that you have, that you're receiving and entering to Colombia. Because, okay, you receive your pension in the States or in Europe, but in order to live in Colombia, you need to bring that money here. So if you bring like a big amount of money, well, you need to file taxes. But if it's like if you take the money from the ATM, you don't need to file anything.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at something. I was looking, poking around online on this, and I'm not sure how old this is. It may be old, but according to this, those retiring to Colombia will not have to pay tax on their pension or income derived from another country for the first 5 years. But after that five-year period, it goes right to worldwide taxation, just like we have in the U.S. Does that sound familiar to you?
Okay, I think that law has changed in recently, but I really don't know which are the changes that the government has made.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll have to look into that. Okay, in a minute, we're going to come back and talk to you about establishing bank accounts in Colombia and a few other questions that we have. Right now, we need to give some attention to our sponsor. Today's Borderless podcast is brought to you by the Condescending Group, your inconsistent leaders in the art of baseless self-confidence. In this past week's Friday morning freakout, one especially self-righteous condescending columnist, Candy Cockeye, wrote a piece entitled, Why Men Are Abusive Assholes. Typically, it never answered the question, but instead was basically one run-on sentence containing every nasty word you could think of about men sucking and being abusive assholes. When someone replied with statistics from the National Institute of Mental Health showing that at least as many women initiate violence against men in relationships, Cockeye replied, "Facts and evidence are tools of the patriarchy." If you'd like to witness more such logic that ties you up and rapes you, subscribe to the Condescending Comfort Club, where you'll never have to defend your viewpoints and opposition is shouted down with a spellbinding, exorcist-style, head-spinning river of angry emotionalism. Go to thecondescendinggroup.com and click on the screaming red-faced woman wrapped in a baby blanket. The Condescending Group, they care more than you. Okay, we're back to the Borderless Podcast, still talking with Gloria Zuluaga of Medellin Executive Relocation. All right, let's talk about bank accounts. What is your opinion of Colombian banks? Is it easy for a foreigner to open up an account?
It is and it's not. It is easy if you have your cédula de extranjería. That means your ID, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't have an ID, if you have just a passport, you are not allowed to open a bank account, okay?
Okay. Is the ID a residency card?
Yeah, the residency card. And you can open it, you can have it just if you have an investment visa, business visa, working visa, partner visa, like a, how do you call them? Those that are getting married?
Marriage?
Yeah, marriage.
Visa. Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's it.
All right. So if you have a visa, you're able to open up a bank account.
Yeah, but if you have a tourist visa, no.
Oh, okay. Just not a tourist visa. Understood. All right. So there are some listeners to the Borderless Podcast who keep hearing about Colombia. And on their mind is the possibility that maybe they would like to just go ahead and completely change their life, go check out Colombia. And if they're going to go live down there, gain some type of residency, and if they like it, it could be that they want to pursue citizenship there. So what can you tell us about how long that takes, how difficult it is? What can you tell us about that?
I can tell you for an American, because I don't know how it works for the other nationalities, but if a foreigner wants to come and live in Colombia and wants to get the citizenship, it takes 5 years for an American. You have to live here with a five-year visa, either whatever you want, marriage, business, investment, pension, whatever. But after 5 years, you can ask for the citizenship.
You can ask for it.
You can
apply for it. I see.
Yes,
and would you say, you know, it's relatively easy to get? Are there long periods of time that you have to wait? Is it generally, as long as you're not a criminal, is it approved?
No, it's very easy. It's very easy as the visa. If you have the papers that require, because there are not many, it's easy in 1 day, 2 days. That's it. It's very easy.
Okay, very good. One of the other things that I noticed, I was looking into the passport, the Colombian passport, and it must be making huge improvements, because just in 2015, I read an article that said that on the Passport Power Index, there's these people who rank passports, mm-hmm. it was like number 62, and there were only like 50-some countries that you could gain visa-free access to. But now, already this year, it's climbed up to number 39, and there are 96 countries you can travel to visa-free.
Yeah.
So it must be improving.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So the quality of the Colombian passport is one that people might consider. Keep an eye on. It could be a good one for you.
Yeah, just look what happened. Last November, they removed the visa for all, the Schengen visa for all European countries. So right now, you can travel whenever you want, and you're free to go anytime.
Okay, very nice. Good. Well, let me ask you this now. As far as Colombian people in general, how is it that you would yourself assess them? And from your experiences and conversations with other people, how would you say they differ from Americans and other South Americans? Can you give us your perspective on that?
Okay, that I can tell you, but on the sense of a person from Medellin, not from the other cities.
I understand.
Okay, in Medellin, as I told you at the beginning, we're very friendly people, and everybody says the same. When you come to Medellin and you are lost, for example, and you ask any person from Medellin, they want to take you to the place. They just don't give you indications. They just want to help you until you get to the place and help you to get anything you want, you know? So we are very friendly, and people always talk about us, because... We're not racist. We don't fight like, oh my God, this guy is from France, and I don't like French people. No, we don't have those stereotypes.
And do the girls from Medellin, do they like American guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You said Yeah, like you did. You weren't happy about that.
No. Yeah. Oh, okay. Of course, my boyfriend is American.
There you go.
Uh-huh. See, right there. What? Tell me about Colombian women.
Well, what can I tell you? We are very. What can I tell you? I mean, like, we like to keep our men happy, and we're always, you know, trying to please them. We like to do all the house things and you know, I don't know, we're very organized, clean, beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, Gloria, I went out with a girl from Medellin for a year and a half, and I concur.
He agrees.
I agree with all you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's different. I mean, for example, my relationship, you know, my boyfriend, I'm always, you know, trying to help him in the sense that if he needs something or I want my house to be always clean, that he's happy, that I don't know. It's like.
What a breath of fresh air, huh?
Well, that's nice to hear. Okay, what else do we have here, James? What else can we ask about?
Well,
what am I missing?
I'd like to ask her about her services. I mean, so this is what you do. You help people get set up there. So if somebody's listening to this and they just, you know, heard your sales pitch for the Medellin women there and they say, okay, I'm ready to go. So how do you offer services to help people get set up there? It looked like you had three different types of services, right? Basic, the more complete one, and then one that was, it was called theatrical or something like that?
Thematic. Well, it's like what happened is like I help everybody, you know, when they call me and they said, look, I don't know where to start. I'm looking for a furnished apartment. I'm looking for a translator. I'm looking for a personal assistant. Everything depends because there are people who comes for maybe 2-3 months and they just need to find an apartment and try to know the city a little bit for the first couple of days. And that is like the basic, picking him or her up at the airport, that, you know. But after, when they come, the whole family, or he's coming or she's coming to move here for like a couple of years. So we help them to open the bank account with a visa, with a maid, because most of the person here, the people here in Medellin, they have maids. It's a very cheap service that you can get. It's like $20 a day, the whole day.
Okay, so you get them on the more complete package. You get them I suppose it's a residency, maybe a temporary or permanent residency, and then you help them open up a bank account, and what else?
And then, for example, if they have kids, we help them to find the right school for them, because it's not easy to in Medellin to get a school place in a school.
Yeah. Let's stop there for a second. Let's talk about schools. A lot of people are interested in schools in the different areas, you know, especially if they have kids, they need to know that where they go, that, you know, it'll be a decent education system. What would you say about the schools? You know, somebody that's thinking of maybe relocating there, or have young kids. What options do you have as far as education goes?
Well, we don't have a lot of variety of international schools, because this city is not as big as Bogota, for example. Okay, so for international schools, we have like 5. That's it. No more. And those have the same calendar as Americans. They start in August and they finish in June, for example. Okay. But the normal calendar it starts in the middle of January, and then you finish the year school November, at the beginning of November. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the international schools, they have the same calendars as the States. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or Europe.
And you would say they're pretty good? I mean, would you put your children in those schools?
Yeah, I have a daughter, and my daughter is studying in one of the no international schools. She starts in January and finishes in November, and I like the way she studies, the way the school is. Most of the schools are outside Medellin because they have a lot of grass and they have more space to play and everything. Mm. I like them.
Okay,
great. I was just looking at the population, by the way. I had no idea. The population of Colombia, it's the 28th largest country in the world. It's 48 million is the estimate.
Yeah.
It's bigger than I thought it was as far as population.
Okay, great. So if somebody wants to have you, maybe help them, you know, a person with a family there, and they want to go check it out and have you pick them up at the airport, what type of charges do you have for these different packages?
Well, that depends, because if it's like the basic, which is like, coming to the airport and picking up at the airport and finding a house is around like 1 million pesos.
Okay.
For all the services, but
that's $316 US.
Yeah, we give you like between 6 and 7 options of apartments, and then we do everything. We take them around the city, show them the city, show them how to take the bus, how the supermarket works. You know, we train these people like the basic. Okay, we train these people and explain, you know, how things work on day to day basis in Medellin, for example. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Are there any other services that you offer people?
We do everything. Just ask for it, and if we cannot make it, we find the person who can help you.
So to set up a bank account, one of your people will actually come with us, take us there, make sure they have all the paperwork, and walk us through it, right?
Yeah. Also, yeah, we have to go to the person to the bank because normally it's not very common to find someone in the bank that speaks English. It's not easy. It's not common.
Yeah.
So if we don't help our clients, you know, they're going to be lost. We cannot tell them, okay, go to the bank and show them those papers. No, that's not the way we work. We work very, very personalized. We take every single client as a part of our family, you know. That's why we're like a boutique company for relocation, because we're not those biggest multinationals that every client is a number. No, we take our time. And if we have to stay there for 20 hours, we stay for 20 hours. It's like that.
Yeah. Well, Gloria, I'll tell you, we have a membership group of people all over the world. And one of them is located there in Medellin. And he used your services. And he said he was very satisfied with that.
Who was
so
that?
He had good recommendations. I don't know. He doesn't
can't
like
can't remember his name. Oh,
no, he doesn't like his name.
Oh, I see.
Up, but,
okay.
Okay.
Anyways.
Good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got a number of services, and it's either you and your people or you have partners. For instance, legal procedures. I've been talking to the attorney, Alan Gungora. So you can help people get set up with the people who can help walk them through the process of getting visas, getting residency, things like that, correct?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And right. I also notice entertainment on here. It says places of entertainment in and out of town. You can help with that. So if James Guzman shows up in Medellin, you can assign one of those beautiful Colombian, you know, representatives to take him to places of entertainment in and out of town?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't, you know, I'm not like, I can find you a date. I don't do that.
We're just kidding. I was teasing. I saw entertainment and we thought it would be fun. No, I didn't think you would do that.
Okay. Entertainment as a like a tourist guide that the person needs, for example, to know cities or go and travel. We have all these things. You know, we can organize any single tourist trip that they want to make.
Well, Gloria Zuluaga of Medellin Executive Relocation Service, thank you so much for being our guest this week on the Borderless Podcast.
Okay, thank you so much for having me here.
Okay, so finally, we did a Colombia spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, a Medellin one, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and I went through a few people, you know, really looking for somebody who would know a lot about it. So I was glad we found Gloria Zuluaga.
Yeah, it's great to have her, another contact in the Borderless Society Rolodex we got there.
Right, and speaking of that, we've got customer reviews on iTunes here. Dalton Sprinkle, a name not soon forgotten. I have seen him on the Borderless pages. Mm-hmm. He says, this podcast is a must for anyone who is considering a borderless existence, lifestyle designer who simply enjoys learning more about the possibilities beyond the typical drudgery that is 9-to-5 living. Almost everyone believes that they think outside the box, but this podcast presents people and ideas that have truly climbed out of the proverbial box, kicked it to the curb, and are living lives that most people have never even contemplated. So check out this podcast and let it loosen up your tether a bit. Besides, Jonathan and James occasionally quaff some good mezcal on the show, and if in vino veritas, .. In mezcal mucho veritas. Vamos. Okay, Dalton, thank you.
Yeah, no mezcal today, though. It's a little bit...
Yeah, it's early in the day. I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, what else is new?
Well, I did want to mention Amy Scott's deal. You know, I put something out to the email list, and I also put it on Facebook and things like that, and she has something called Nomadtopia Live coming up. We had her on the show before, and she has something right here in town, San Miguel de Allende, where she's going to be giving workshops and, you know, basically masterminding and stuff like that for people that want to have location-independent businesses. If people are familiar with Amy Scott, you know, it's a little bit different of a flavor than we usually do. But actually, at its core, it's pretty much, you know, very similar stuff.
Very complimentary. Amy Scott, Nomadtopia. Mm-hmm. The dates are June 18th through the 25th, right here in San Miguel de Allende. Mm-hmm. As if you needed more excuses, you know, to come here. Some of the names of the workshops working on and in our businesses, participating in and leading workshops, masterminding, soaking up the local culture and hanging out. So there are some people who are going to be coming. We'll put a link on the show notes so you can check
it out. Think I'm going to be doing at least one workshop as well. And if you'd like, you know, to do that, and you could take the advantage of that. And also, if you want to mix that up, I can do an introduct my the concierge service that I usually do. We can mix it with that. But anyways, you know, just if that interests you, please either send us an email or sign up and let them know in the form so we know that you're coming. And we look forward to seeing you. I think it'd be pretty interesting.
All right, that'd be great to see you. I get messages at least every week of people saying that they're going to come and visit. So another Borderless podcast will be coming up soon.
Thanks for joining us for the Borderless podcast: traveling, investing, and living beyond borders.